Can I share with you a little bit about my ignorance, a little bit about stuff that I don't know about, specifically about jewelry maintenance and repair and whatnot? So picture this. I'm at the jewelry store and I'm in the process of getting some things adjusted, and I'm staring at the sales associate's hand, and I'm looking at her ring finger, and I was like, wow, it looks so shiny. And then she was explaining to me, yeah, I buff it and shine it. And I look at my ring finger and I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at my wedding ring, I'm like, you know, I realize that mine's kind of dull, and my husband, God bless his soul, he's always touting the fact that, you know, I've never, ever cleaned, polished my ring finger at all, my wedding ring at all. I'm just kind of keeping it moving. And then the sales associate comes and says something kind of a little off of left field. And she said, men would have no clue with anything unless we told them what was happening. I didn't say nothing. And what could I say in that moment? And I knew in that comment and another comment she made that she viewed her man and perhaps other men as little boys that needed perpetual caregiving. I'm gonna pause right here and ask you a question. Have you ever been viewed as a little boy or girl? Or perhaps you may have the tendency of feeling very judgmental and critical about the person that you have made your life partner. Well, I get it. Sometimes they just get on our nerves if we are on the receiving end of criticism or we're giving the criticism, and I get it. But in today's episode, we're going to be talking about where that comes from. Why do we feel that anxiety, that nervousness about being around our partner who is just doing things that they can't understand? And perhaps why do we feel on the receiving end, on the flip side, someone who's acting like that? We're going to dive into all of that coming to you after this short break. Hey, 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 and welcome to the Introverted Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Denise Lee, and I'm a life coach for business owners. And my jam, my thing, what I do, is helping you understand how to do life better so that you don't get into chaos, drama, confusion, unnecessary stress, so that you could be able to rocket in your business and thrive in all other areas of your life. And if you are listening to this podcast for the very first time and you're down for those kind of conversations, make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. That way, as soon as I drop a new episode, which is usually on Mondays and Wednesdays, you're going to be on that like peanut butter on jelly, or maybe sunflower on grape salad. Bad example. The point I'm trying to make is you'll be on it. And let's be social on social media if you haven't done so already. Connect with me on X. My handle is Denise G. Lee. I am really unabashed about giving frank, straight to the point advice on relationships, business stuff, understanding who you are. I focus a lot on traumas and addictions because I am also a trauma as well as a recovering addict, dual addict, alcoholism, sex addiction, oh gosh, people addiction. So I kind of understand that kind of world, and I speak to that very honestly, straight to the point, no chaser, because I believe that for a lot of us, we are around people who want to indulge our weaknesses and our shortcomings so that they can take advantage of our vulnerabilities. And I don't want to have any of that noise around me. So that's why I'm very frank and honest about that. And if you're interested in reading long form about the things that I talk about, mental health, psychology, science, understanding ourselves and understanding other people, make sure you visit my website, deniseglee.com. You will read my articles as well as other guest authors about their thoughts about understanding yourself so that you can live your best life. And then make sure if you are interested in working with me, you mosey on over to my courses tab where I have lots of courses as well as inquiries to work with me directly one-on-one. I highly recommend, and actually I do this for all my new clients, my course Amazing Attitude. It's a 21-day program where we take a deep dive into you and understanding the cultural, societal, family upbringing, all these factors that make you you, and identify one or more areas where you may have been given a life script that is not actually helping you, is actually hurting you. And so I would encourage you to take advantage of that as well. That is a quiz where you can learn more about you on my website, DeniseGLee.com. Check out, there's a banner that says Learn Your Life Script. But if you don't have a chance, look at the show notes below. The link to my social website, my courses, all that fun stuff can be found in the show notes below. And lastly, if you have been enjoying our conversations, make sure that you share it with somebody else. We can't sit here in a bubble talking with each other about understanding healthy communication amongst us, because the point is not so much that we learn how to communicate with ourselves better, but we can be able to carry our experience, strength, and hope with other people so that we can minimize the chaos and the confusion and the drama. Because look, here's the thing. A lot of us, we want better relationships, but we somehow believe that if we just change ourselves, then everybody will follow suit. Yes, that's important. We showcase our example, but we also give tangible tools and resources so that people who are thirsty and looking for information can be able to find that. So share my website, obviously, and share this podcast with somebody else who could benefit with that. So let's kind of go back to the beginning of our conversation where I was telling you about the sales associate that I was working with that made kind of some disparaging comments. And I think about some of the other interactions I've had with friends over the years. I think about one particular friend that I had who put her husband on a credit card allowance, who made sure that responses that came from them as a family had to be filtered through her. I think about so many other examples, and they're all examples of infantilizing your partner. And when I say infantilizing, I'm talking about viewing the person as in a childlike way, that they cannot make any decisions or choices without supervision from someone who's more older, wiser, more experienced. And I couldn't help but think about these particular ladies. And trust me as I say this, I don't want to just put all it on women, because I've seen men infantilize their wives as well, their spouses, their mates, whatever. It's not just a woman doing this to dudes. It goes both ways, okay? So I just wanted to say that, because I don't want anybody sending me a message like, Denise, you're only talking about women. Like, honey, this is all equal opportunity hating on this issue, because I truly believe that adults need to be treated as adults that have their own minds, their own ideas about what they need to be doing and why they're doing it. It doesn't, even if it doesn't make sense to you or logical, that doesn't mean there's no rationale. So if you are on that receiving post, the end of the post, and you're just thinking to yourself, I feel so afraid and ashamed, understand that it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with their own things going on. I'm going to dive more into what that's all about. But kind of dialing back and just saying, I just couldn't help but wonder how emasculating it must be for someone to be around a partner who looks lowly at them. And I was thinking about the appearance of the sales associate who was obese. She wasn't even overweight. She was just flat out obese, which made me wonder if she saw comfort more in the food that she consumed rather than her life partner. Now, I don't want anybody sending me nasty grams and saying, are you fat shaming? Like, Denise is not fat shaming. Denise is actually bringing to the surface something that tends to be skirted around, is that for a lot of us who don't feel emotionally fulfilled, we will seek to food, substances, things, activities for comfort. That's just a fact. Now, this particular person may also have thyroid issues, metabolic issues. I'm not excluding any of that. But by and large, most of these cases are used for comfort. So you may be thinking, how does someone get like this? How does someone look at their spouse, their life partner, as someone who's no different than a child or a pet? And there's three simple reasons, and we're going to kind of dive into it. But just the overall idea is that it starts with a subtle erosion of respect, which comes from a combination of societal conditioning, personal insecurities, and relationships dynamics. And to make it worse, depending on who you're hanging out with, your social circles, They may have perpetuated gender stereotypes that portray a man or a woman as incompetent or in need of guidance, while either the man or the woman is usually, in most cases, women are viewed as natural caregivers. And these stereotypes can seep into your subconscious mind and can influence how you or other people perceive and interact with your life partner. And so let's dive a little bit more into personal insecurities and relationship dynamics. First of all, in regards to personal insecurities, it can play a significant role when a person feels inadequate or unsure of themselves. They're going to find someone that has everything that they feel they lack. And because it's like a one-up, one-down situation. You're looking up toward your partner, and your partner can't help but feel a overinflated sense of importance, grandeur, power. And they can, if their own ego is not put in check, they can view the other person looking down. And I think about so many relationships that I have encountered prior to my relationship with my husband, as well as talking with clients, where if you are in a low place, if you're in a funky state of mind, depression, anxiety, constant worries, you're going to look to someone who just looks cool and calm and collected. But think about it this way. If somebody is attracted to you who's constantly feeling anxious, depressed, and worried, that's not a stable person. And so we attract people who are vibrating on the same energetic wavelength. And unbeknownst to you, while you're spilling all of your anxieties and worries, it gives them a point to not indulge in their own dysfunction and to try to minimize, avoid, deny, suppress, evade, intellectualize away their own insecurities and fears and worries. And that creates a toxic codependency relationship. And then actually that brings me to the second point. How can someone treat another person like a kid? That goes into relationship dynamics. Whew. Some cases, one partner may naturally take on a more dominant or caregiving role, leading to an imbalance of power. I kind of mentioned that in the personal insecurities. And this can result in one parent partnering the other person. I mentioned earlier about the example of having my friend having to give the person a allowance. In fact, what she did every month is she pre-put a certain amount of money on a credit card and on a debit card for her husband to use. He was retired, because she kept lamenting, oh, he's buying all these power tools and all the stuff that we don't need. They can rent it. And when you think about it, how condescending is that you're downplaying and invalidating another person's need to get work done to improve the quality of their home? And even if it was true that it was redundant, there was not an ability to have a conversation about what was needed and necessary in the budget, rather than just putting a flat budget on what they could and couldn't receive financially in the month. And if you get treated like a kid, one of three things can happen. You could first either rebel, right? And you could purposely overspend or do exactly the opposite as a form of rebellion to regain your sense of identity. Because if I can just recognize and get angry, I can either just blow stuff up, I can run away, I can just do what the complete opposite of what my caregiver, which is in the sad case, is my what's supposed to be my life partner, my equal. You can be sulking, meaning that you can just fall into a depression. And that happens when you just comply and you surrender. Or you can flat out try to sabotage the other person. That every time you think that you're going along with the plans, you kind of make a detour and go passive aggressive. I see this a lot in some relationship dynamics that I have talked with clients over the years, where they will purposely, the moment they're starting to make progress, one person either forgets an appointment to talk with me, or they do things that seemingly make no sense. Again, another form of rebellion. But either they're just trying to rebel, become passive aggressive, or they become sulken and they just don't. They do everything, but their mind is just so downcast and they're so disheartened by the situation. Either way, it's just funky and it's bad. Okay, that's the point I'm trying to make here. And over time, if one or both people don't receive counseling, third party intervention to challenge some of these ingrained thoughts and beliefs about other people and what their value is and what they're capable of, it can lead to some really bad dysfunctional situations, not just for them, but the people around them. And we see it all the time in our businesses, when we congregate in social events like churches or gatherings or sporting events, where you see that one person's looking down the other and everyone's just trying to keep the peace and pretend like they're not seeing the crazy. So it's not just something that is contained within the relationship dynamics between the two partners, the man and the woman, or whatever combination got going on. It's 2024, so everything's up for par. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that there's so much things that are going on amongst the partners that everyone around them is affected by this. I can't say it any other way, but the crazy, okay? And so this is something that can be changed. This can be improved. I don't want anyone to listen to this and say, oh my God, this is some hopeless stuff. What are we going to do with this? I want to say, I got your back. I got your back on this. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about five areas where you can work through these painful relationship dynamics, whether or not you are having a moment with Jesus, come to Jesus moment, you're like, oh man, I'm treating my life partner, my spouse, as a kid, or you're on the receiving end, you're like, you know, I'm tired of being treated like a little kid, and I want a sense of autonomy. I want someone to, my life partner, the person that I have devoted time, energy, so much to finally treat me with respect that I deserve, because there's no way in hell I'm going to live the next 5-10 years of my life being treated like a kid. I got your back. So we're going to talk about self-reflection, communication, empowerment, challenging social mirrors, and seeking support. This is a great time if you have something to write down with, that you jot down some notes, because reinforcement is key to change. But if you can't write things because you're driving or walking the dog or something, like, I get you. At least make a mental note as to what I'm talking about that's really hitting home for you, because I want you to take that next step, whatever that looks like, whether you are recipient of being treated like a child or you are treating someone like a child. You have to ask yourself, like, I need to make some change, okay? So first, let's go into number one, self-reflection. This is the time you take to think about how the other person's feeling. Because, like, here's the thing. I get it. When somebody is irrational, irritating, and annoying, it just don't make no sense. And you're just thinking, if you can just bulldoze your way through this crap and just get things done, then we can resolve it. But here's the thing. That other person's reasons are valid. Otherwise, they wouldn't do that. So let's have some self-reflection about whether or not they're heaping on the crap or we're heaping on crap on the other person. How does that impact the other person? How does that make them feel? This is a great time for that golden rule. Would you want to be treated the same way that you're treating your partner? And for a lot of people, they're just repeating the exact same things they saw their mama or their daddy do. Now, just because mama and daddy was doing it, was it helpful? How did that make everybody in the household feel? How did that make you feel? Journal, write some stuff down, really dig deep into that. Because for a lot of us, we only replicate and model what has been observed, 3 times a charm, by other people. but we don't have to do that. We can do differently. Now let's go into number two, communication. This is where you talk openly with your partner about how you feel in the relationship. This is where you share your thoughts and concerns about any dynamics that feel unequal or disrespectful. For a lot of us, we talk with our everyone but our partner. We'll talk to our family members, our girlfriends, guy friends, the person that's delivering our mail, the UPS guy, everybody but our partner. How crazy is that, right? And let me just insert something that needs to be said. Please stop taking swimming lessons from drowning people, meaning you want to listen to someone who has on like their fifth divorce or has never been a long-term relationship, or all the information they know they got from Red Table Talk or Dr. Phil or Caso Cerrados or wherever you're watching. Like, please get information from people who are actually slaying it if you want to seek out for outside information. But the most important person you need to talk to about your relationship is the person who's in your relationship with. Stop making it's an A and B conversation. Let the C's see their way out of this interaction until you guys have mutual consent that we're going to bring a third party in to help us work through these issues. That's part of the disrespect, is we don't think to ourselves about, wait a minute, can the other person feel comfortable with another person hearing our junk in our relationship? That's why it was so important that we have the self-reflection. Then we can communicate with our partner about what's going on and see whether or not there's error on our way. Because you may not even think what you're doing is disrespectful. There is a cause and effect for everything that happens amongst two people. And when you listen to another person, it allows each other that chance to have empathy, which can build understanding and trust. All right. So we just talked about self-reflection and communication. Let's move over to empowerment. This is where you encourage your partner to express their opinions, preferences, and needs freely. Some of y'all are just ready to just blow up. I always talk about with my clients about Jack or Jackie in the box. And remember when you were growing up, you had Jack in the box. So there was like this clown or some jester that was in this colorful box. And then there was a crank and a wheel. And then put up enough pressure, put enough cranking up. And that spring compresses and pop, it comes out. Some people are about to pop. And that's when, but you don't wait until stuff just gets crazy. Let them talk, let them diffuse. And here's something that I just have to mention that's just worth mentioning, is that for some of you guys, you just think just because you see their face, that is great to just start talking with them off the cuff. And that is a epic no-no, especially if you're talking with a very masculine man who's more left lobe oriented thinking and thoughts rather than right lobe feeling and sensing. If you just start talking with someone about something painful, difficult, and uncertainty without permission or consent, they will not take it kindly. They need to be prepped. They need to be in a right frame of mind to even receive the information. And let me show you how to do this. You're feeling upset because of the whole bunch of dirty dishes in the sink. And you're like, this is like every night I'm cleaning this stuff up and I'm not even paid to be like the housekeeper. I need to figure this out. And if you just come the first thing in the morning while he is getting himself ready to go to the job or to his business or whatever he's got going on, you say, you know, I'm so sick and tired of these dirty dishes. Don't you know I have my own things to run? If you start coming with that energy, don't be shocked if he's going to meet, match, and amplify that kind of energy. Instead, you say, hey, honey, I want to talk with you about the dishes. Is now a good time? So you gave them the subject and you asked whether or not it was a good time to talk. Okay? We don't just lean into the things that are upset us. We actually prep the person so that they can be able to either decide to talk or decide to ask for a later time. It's like, no, I'm not good. He could say, I'm not good. Well, perhaps we could talk about this at 5 p.m. tonight. What time that in the near future is good for you? So that communicates to the person that there is a sense of urgency and importance to this conversation. Okay? Building up each other rather than assuming a position of superiority can create a more balanced and respectful dynamic. And that comes from being kind as well as engaging about the things that need to be handled. Okay. Now let's move on to number four, challenging societal norms. Woo, this is a big one. And this is funny as I'm talking about this because, you know, I'm recording this in April 2024. And even the last 4 years, like we've had the, I shouldn't say 4 years, the last, within the last 10 years or so, we've had the Me Too movement. We've had all sorts of stuff going down. Women, men, everybody is getting a reset as to what we expect from other people, what we expect in our relationships. And so now this is a time where you and your partner have to ask each other, how do we relate in this relationship? What garbage have we heard from our family, friends, society that leads us to believe that certain behavior, which is totally counterproductive to us, our situation, what can we do to eliminate, minimize, or what's going on out there so that we can be able to focus on us? I was thinking about one particular conversation I had with a client the other day, and she grew up in a divorced home situation because her mother was more about just trying to climb the rungs of academia and just get a lot of stuff done. And she was resentful. She, meaning the her mother's ex-husband, her daddy, about him achieving. And she felt the mother of my client felt like she was being stifled. She had to like be divorced so that she could be able to achieve. And my client came with this belief system that men are trying to get after you, that men will discourage you, put you back, get you barefoot pregnant in the house, just cleaning dishes all day long. And so she had this conditioning that anytime a man would ask her to surrender and be passive, patient, and vulnerable, which is a characteristic of a feminine woman, that it was undermining her intelligence, her worth, her values. And so that had to be reprogrammed in order for her to ask her, like, we can't have two dudes in this room. There's got to be someone who's passive and someone who's dominant. It's a dance. It's a waltz. And some of you guys right now are listening, and you may have a situation where you're trying to be dominant and the other person's dominant. It's going to lead to fights where everybody's arguing and one person or both of y'all have to pick up a lover that is a complementary of your personality in order to be fulfilled emotionally, sexually, as an example. So this is the time I want to ask you right now, are there some beliefs, are there some ideas that you're bringing into relationship that came from stuff that you observed from your mama, your dad, your cousin, your Uncle Billy, whoever, right? Reject harmful stereotypes, cultural conditioning, family norms, in order for you and your partner to be fulfilled in a relationship dynamic that works well for you, okay? So we just talked about empowerment, changing societal norms. Let's lean into seeking support. This is where, obviously, you find someone who actually has professional training, a therapist, a counselor, a coach like myself, who can help you explore and address underlying issues that contribute to the dynamics of making someone into a child. Okay, I want to use simpler words here. And we can be able to help you see things that you don't even see. Because I often pick up tells when I'm talking with people that they don't even see. And so we can quickly snub off all the crazy so that everybody can feel safe, loved, and acknowledged as a unique individual human being. Well, whew, I said a lot. We just talked about self-reflecting, communication, empowerment, challenging societal norms, and lastly, seeking support. So where do you need to go? What needs to change? Do you need more time understanding yourself? Do you need more time communicating with other people that you need some things to resolve? Do you need more time communicating with your spouse? I don't know. You know your situation better. But I do know that just listening to this podcast episode alone is awesome and it's great. Like, that's, give yourself a pat on the back. But there's more work to be done if you want to have a better and healthier relationship. Remember, confession without change is a game. And games are painful and they don't lead to anything of meaningfulness if you want to have a healthy and prosperous life with your life partner. So you got a lot to think about, got a lot to decide, and I get it. So if you need support, hit me up, send me a message via my website, DeniseGLee.com. Send me a message via X, and understand that it is okay to feel a little bit distressed after listening to something like this. So take some time, process it, and understand that you're not alone, that there are resources available for you, okay? Well, if you got any questions or comments, like I said, hit me up. And make sure that if you have enjoyed this podcast, make sure you share it with somebody else, write a review, all that fun stuff. Well, until next time, take care and be awesome.